The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, with you on this Friday, 15 February 2019. I want to play you this clip. McCabe, he was the number two guy at the FBI. There is absolutely no doubt whatsoever, after 2 years of this witch hunt, that Donald Trump was involved in any collusion with Russia to interfere with the elections of 2016. None whatsoever. This is what McCabe admitted on 60 Minutes.
And who had just run for the presidency and won the election for the presidency, and who might have done so with the aid of the government of Russia, our most formidable adversary on the world stage. And that was something that troubled me greatly.
How long was it after that that you decided to start the obstruction of justice and counterintelligence investigations involving the president?
I think the next day I met with the team investigating the Russia cases, and I asked the team to go back and conduct an assessment to determine where are we with these efforts and what steps do we need to take going forward. I was very concerned that I was able to put the Russia case on absolutely solid ground in an indelible fashion, that were I removed quickly or reassigned or fired, that the case could not be closed or vanish in the night without a trace. I wanted to make sure that our case was on solid ground, and if somebody came in behind me and closed it and tried to walk away from it, they would not be able to do that without creating a record of why they'd made that decision.
You wanted a documentary record.
That's right.
That those investigations had begun because you feared that they would be made to go away.
That's exactly right.
They would be made to go away. Well, there was a little bit more to that story than just that. Justice Department officials held meetings about recruiting Mike Pence to help force Trump out of office using the 25th Amendment. Now, this was Andrew McCabe. He was the deputy director under James Comey. Comey got fired, and he figured his neck was on the line. Andrew McCabe, the former deputy director of the FBI, recounted a Justice Department plot to remove Donald Trump from office in a damn television interview. In the next episode of 60 Minutes, Scott Pelley, a correspondent for CBS, says McCabe will talk about a plot to remove Donald Trump from office. Pelley says McCabe told him about the plot to approach Mike Pence, the vice president of the United States, and ask him to invoke the 25th Amendment. And, of course, McCabe comes out with a brand new book, and I'm sure he got one hell of an advance on it. This is your retirement. Enjoy it. Spend your money fast. Because if I'm still breathing, people like you, my friend, we're going to put you in jail so far they're going to have to pump sunshine and air into you. And what's his new book? The Threat. Trump fired McCabe and former boss James Comey, calling them crooked cops. Francesca Chambers, senior White House correspondent for the Daily Mail, wrote this. Andrew McCabe, the former deputy director of the FBI, recounted a Justice Department plot to remove Donald Trump from office in a television interview that will air Sunday. Previewing the next episode of 60 Minutes, Scott Pelley, a correspondent for CBS, said Thursday that McCabe told him about a plan to approach Mike Pence, the vice president of the United States, and ask him to invoke the 25th Amendment. There was a meeting at the Justice Department. You want to talk about collusion? You want to talk about treason? There were meetings at the Justice Department in which it was discussed whether the vice president and the majority of the cabinet could be brought together to remove the president of the United States under the 25th Amendment. And, of course, Donald Trump wasted no time tweeting this out yesterday. Disgraced FBI acting director Andrew McCabe pretends to be a poor little angel, when in fact he was a big part of the crooked Hillary scandal and the Russia hoax, a puppet for leaking James Comey. The IG report on McCabe was devastating, part of insurance policy in case I won. Donald continued, no surprise. Many of the top FBI brass were fired, forced to leave, or left. McCabe's wife received big dollars from Clinton people for her campaign. He gave Hillary a pass. McCabe is a disgrace to the FBI and a disgrace to our country. Now, Pelley said McCabe told him there were countless, they were counting noses of cabinet members who would vote to remove Trump after he fired James Comey in May of 2017. This was not perceived to be a joke, Pelley asserted. The journalist said the conversation took place in 8 days between Comey's dismissal and the appointment of Robert Mueller as special counsel. Trump met with the Russian ambassador the day after he ousted Comey, the former FBI director, and the Russian foreign minister at the White House. Oh, there it is, the collusion. They're getting together, they're going to toast and pat each other on the back. We did it. His campaign, several associates, including a one-time national security advisor, Michael Flynn, were under federal investigation for improper contacts during the election with Russia at the time. The highest levels of the American law enforcement were trying to figure out what to do with the president. McCabe and his first person to confirm the 25th Amendment came up in a meeting. The ex-law enforcement official was later fired himself over conversations with the media that an inspector general deemed inappropriate. Evidently, the phone call to tell him to shut up didn't work. Reacting to McCabe's claim in an interview with MSNBC, the vice president, who's currently traveling abroad, said the suggestion that Trump is unfit for office is absurd, given his record of accomplishments. But see, the press is not going to say anything positive about Donald Trump because they want to get him out of office. Here we are, folks, February of 2019, with another election coming up next year. And the way this guy looks, he's not in ill health. He is intact. I think he'll run again, and I think he'll win again. And I look for the second term of Donald Trump to be one bombastic sleigh ride, folks. And not to the detriment to the people in the sleigh, by the way. I couldn't be more proud to stand with him. The words and the writings of a disgraced FBI agent won't change the fact for the American people, Pence said. He further claimed that he had never heard of the Justice Department plot that McCabe described before, suggesting that it never left the idea stage. No, it went beyond that. It went to the conversational stage. You can have an idea in your head. Until you act upon it, there's no guilt. You can think whatever you want. It's your actions that count. Trump has claimed that Comey, McCabe, and cohorts of theirs who worked on the Hillary Clinton email case and the Russian meddling probe were crooked cops, and that's why he got rid of them. And part of this, ladies and gentlemen, and this is my own personal observation here. Part of this was to get you to the point that you're sick and tired of hearing about anything about corruption in the federal government, to burn you down to the ground, that you just get so sick and tired of the infighting with the Democrats and the Republicans, so much crap put out there that people just wanted to shut it off. But all the while, Hillary Clinton, the Clinton Foundation, the payoffs, everything else is still there. And it's not been touched. This attorney general that came in, and I understand he doesn't have a stellar track record on the Second Amendment, but I don't think that's why he's there. I think Trump brought a bulldog in, and he's going to tell him where the bone is, and he's going to tell him to go fetch. And that bone is Hillary Clinton. And I suspect in the second administration of Donald Trump, he will be going after Hillary Clinton. He will be going after this fiat banking. He's going to be doing a lot of things. And oh, by the way, he will finish that wall in the second term in office. These Democrats don't know whether to go blind, wind their wristwatch, get drunk, or just quit politics. They're trying anything and everything. Well, as you might have figured, this McCabe's interview set Trump off again, with the president answering him in tweets on Thursday morning during a period of time in which Trump typically has no events or meetings. And I already read you the tweets. He invoked McCabe's wife's, Jill's, failed candidacy in office in Virginia, where she ran for office as a Democrat with the financial backing of an organization that's close to Hillary Clinton. The president suggested the connection to the former Secretary of State, who opposed him for the Oval Office, caused McCabe to go easy on the Clinton in the FBI's probe into her use of private email and server. It's just not about the emails, folks. That was after the fact of all the criminality. And I'm sorry, that little investigation that went absolutely nowhere, what was his name, Seth Rich. Yeah, that was just a robbery gone bad. Two shots in the back, nothing was taken. He was the guy that supplied the information to WikiLeaks. And in the meantime, you had the wonderful conservative that works for Fox News over there interviewing this guy, wanting desperately to know, well, where did this information come from? Where did this information come from? He wouldn't give it up. He says, we are a place that stuff is published and we do not give away our sources. That came from Seth Rich, the guy that they'd murdered. Was this on the orders of Hillary Clinton? Considering the Clinton body count, it wouldn't surprise me. I do not know that for a fact, but I highly suspect it. Means, opportunity, and motive, folks. Where there's a smoking gun, there might be a hot little bullet flying. Many of the top FBI brass were fired, forced to leave, or left. They got their hats. They knew the party was over. McCabe's wife received big dollars from the Clinton people for her campaign. He gave Hillary a pass. McCabe is a disgrace to the FBI and a disgrace to our country. I mean, I don't have to go too far. I just have to look. All I have to do is look at Las Vegas. $24 million. And hush money being paid out to cops up there to shut their mouths. They've already been told, open up your mouth, you die. But here, let me make it worth your while. With the multiple shooters that were in Vegas. And the guy they accused, apparently, he never fired a damn shot. tell me about the wonderful FBI. You want to talk about something that should be disbanded. I've heard people saying, well, the budget should be cut. We should start all over again. No, we should disband them the same damn way with the CIA. These are the people that have the quote-unquote authority. But these are the groups that have turned to the dark side. And they are not, in any way, shape, or form, here for you or me or justice or anything else. They have become completely corrupt, inside and out. You want to go to war with the American people, FBI? You want to go to war, CIA, with the American people? Well, your brethren have not confiscated the guns, and we still have them, and we're still buying them. Do you get that? Do you understand that? Look back in history. Why did Yamamoto not want to invade the United States? Because they knew they would get their little tushes shot off. That's why. The closest they ever got was a few islands off the coast of Alaska. That's as close as they ever got. These are now rogue agencies, and they should be disbanded, fully investigated, and the people that are in on illegal activities should be held accountable, charged in court, and sent to jail. And that would be the good sentence. The bad sentence is you're hung for treason. Treason! You keep screwing around. You keep pushing us. You keep trying to break us. But we are still here. Do you hear me? Do you understand me? We're not going anywhere. And if these asshats get desperate enough to kill this president, baby cakes, it's on. Do not go to the 50 states. You will not be welcomed here. You will be refused. You will be rebuffed. You will be turned away. And that's the best case scenario. Do you think the melding of the police and the military was just for your benefit, ladies and gentlemen? They had to throw out Posse Comitatus, the thing that protected Americans from the use of the military on their own citizens. I had a Round Rock police detective proudly show me his gold badge and then show me his FBI badge as well. Why? Oh, it was the fusion centers. You know, we need to share our intelligence with the local police. No, you needed to militarize them. That's what you needed. Oh, and all of these little towns that got all this equipment, all this military equipment for nothing, it's still there. I look at those as being weapons depots. That's all that they are. And they will be used by the military, if necessary, in the future, against the American people. You think we don't get that? You think we don't understand that? Hell, 20 years ago, I had a guy that was in on the design of the one of the nation's biggest, baddest helicopters. He said, you know, they don't understand. These multi-million-dollar aircraft. He said, you know, if you know how to do it, these damn things can be disabled just like that. You don't even have to fire a shot. Do you understand the longer this goes on and the deeper to the core of the good people in this country, you run the risk of losing it. Not us. You.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Way, this 25th Amendment, they're saying, might be the tool to get Trump out of office. Well, the 25th Amendment says that the president becomes unable to do their job, the vice president becomes the president. This can happen for just a little while if the president is just sick or even disabled for a short time. It could also happen until the end of the president's term, if the president died, resigned, or lost his job. The 25th Amendment also says what should happen if there is a vacancy in the vice president's office, meaning there is no vice president. Now, Article 2, Section 1, Clause 6 of the Constitution says, in case of the removal of the president from office or his death, resignation or inability to discharge the powers and duties of the said office, the same shall devolve on the vice president, and the Congress may by law provide for a case of removal, death, resignation, or inability, both of the president and the vice president, declaring what officer shall then act as president, and such officer shall act accordingly until the disability is removed or a president shall be elected. Now, that means if the president's fired, dies, resigned, or unable to discharge his powers and duties, the vice president will take over the job. This McCabe was dumb enough to suggest this to the vice president of the United States. You don't think that's an attempted coup? These people are going to jail. And you're saying to me now, oh, that'll never happen. You want to bet? I think a whole lot is going to happen in the second administration of this guy. Have you seen him? This job wears most people down. It ages them prematurely. This guy looks like he's still on the campaign trail. And that's after over 3 years of this crap. I don't think any other man as president of the United States could have withstood this. And I don't know Donald Trump's constitution, but it's got to be one hell of a constitution for him to take repeatedly these hits and still try to do something in a positive light. Now, the 25th Amendment, this clause was not very specific. It did, in other words, it did not say who had the power to say a president was unable to do his job, whether the vice president would actually become president if he had to take over, or would just be acting president. Who would take the vice president's job if he died, resigned, could not do his job, or had to take over the president? How or who in Congress should decide who would take over if neither the president or the vice president could do the president's job? Remember what they did with Tricky Dick? They got rid of his vice president first. Oh, it was the IRS. They bounced him out of there and then got rid of Nixon. When they got rid of the vice president, who came in? A Rockefeller. But Gerald Ford hung around, stumbling, bumbling. Yep. Better him than a Rockefeller. In 1841, the ninth president, William Henry Harrison, became the first president of the United States to die in office. Before this, Representative John Williams had suggested that the vice president should become acting president if the president died. Also, after Harrison died, his cabinet had met and decided that the vice president, John Tyler, would become vice president, acting president. However, Tyler did not like the idea. He announced that he had become the president and was not just doing the old president's job. He refused to look at any papers that were addressed to him as acting president. Tyler took the presidential oath, moved into the White House, and took over all the president's powers. Nobody formally challenged Tyler's claim to the presidency. Eventually, both houses in Congress passed a resolution saying that Tyler was the 10th president of the United States. This created the precedent of full secession, just in case you were wondering where all this stuff came from. The precedent is a rule or law that might be followed in the future if a similar situation came up again. Full secession means the vice president would become the president, not acting president, if the actual president died. At other times, presidents didn't die, but they're unable to do their jobs because of illness. For example, Woody Wilson. Remember old Woody? Guy gave us the 13th Amendment? Well, he stroked out. The First Lady, Edith Wilson, and the official White House doctor kept the stroke a secret. Because of this, no one took over the presidency, even though Wilson could not do the job at the time. But the real president was still moving around, and he was from Austin. Do you remember what his name was? The real power behind the throne? Getting the 13th Amendment passed? And then eventually the 16th Amendment shortly after? Do you remember his name?
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Well, I thought that that might have invoked a few calls, but yeah, I know the guy's name. Am I talking to anybody today? Historian Paul Johnson wrote, oddly enough, in 1911, Edward Mandell House had published a political novel, Philip Drew, Administrator, in which a benevolent dictator imposed a corporate income tax, abolished the protective tariffs, and broke up the credit trust. Billy Jensen, a historian from the University of Kansas, noted that Philip Drew was obviously an expression both of House's ambition and his political dreams, and it was an expression of the ideas of the man who had an impressive amount of influence on Woody Wilson. That's because, yeah, Woody stroked out. Who do you think was running things? His wife? Seldom have the elements of a utopia been implemented so soon after the reforms of Philip Drew were. Seldom has a utopian reformer been as influential as House was. And the way this is worded is very fascinating. For these reasons, Philip Drew is a significant political document. Notice I didn't say book or novel. Political document. In a book review for the New York Times, Walter Lippmann wrote of the novel and its anonymous author that if the author is really a man of affairs, this is an extraordinarily interesting book. Now, this was set in a period from 1920 to 1935. House's hero leads the Democrat Western United States in a civil war against the plutocratic East. After becoming an acclaimed leader of the country, he steps down having restored justice and democracy. House outlined many additional political beliefs, such as Federal Incorporation Act with government and labor representation on the board of every corporation. Public service corporations must share their net earnings with government. Government ownerships of all telegraphs. Government ownership of all telephones. Government representation in railroad management. Single-term presidencies. Old age pensions. Workmen's insurance law. Cooperative marketing and land banks. Free employment bureaus. 8-hour workdays. Labor not to be a commodity. Government arbitration of industrial disputes. And government ownership of all health care. The West against the East. What do we have in California today, folks? What do we have? I say charge the guy as accessory to murder, because he's allowing the murderers not only into his state, but into this country. This is what it is. I don't know how else to say it. By the way, all of what you've not heard on the news about the yellow vest in France, well, there's an update for you. And it's not good. Coming from Breitbart, the French state has arrested and convicted 1,800 yellow vest members so far. French Prime Minister has revealed that there have been nearly 1,800 court convictions of activists who have taken part in the weekly Yellow Vest protest. The French Prime Minister revealed the extent of the convictions during a speech in front of the National Assembly, updating a previous figure released last month that confirmed just under 1,000 convictions of members of the movement. Since the beginning of these events, 1,796 sentences have been pronounced by the court, and 1,422 people are still awaiting trial. Went on to add that more than 1,300 immediate appearances will be held and 360 people will be placed under an arrest warrant. What happens when we have the George Soros-backed little socialist communist in this country? What happens? How many of these masked individuals have been charged and put in jail? How many? Zero. That's how many. Now, you and I are expected to live in our utopian world that we're trying to live the American dream, and we're not criminals, and we're just trying to do our level best every single day. We're not important. The law-abiding people in this country are no longer important, because that is not the game anymore. That is not the game. This is America today. Somebody did ask me, you know, you've been playing that Steve Voss bumper music. You ever thought about changing it up? And I said, no, I'm never going to, because this isn't over. It has been 11 years since the greatest American ripoff, hell, worldwide ripoff, and we have not recovered, nor will we ever recover. John Rappaport, this is kind of interesting. He said there's a deeper reason for drug ads on TV. Oh, Tesla, Nazarick, Keytruda, Breo. You ever heard of any of these? Oh, Tesla, I have just recently. But generally not likely. If you have, do you know what conditions they treat? Highly unlikely. But there they are, splashed in commercials all over the place. Why? Who's going to remember to ask their doctor whether these and other obscure meds are right for them? Well, the question it begs, what's going on here? The answer is, it doesn't matter what drugs are being advertised. If pharma can pay enough total money for ads for all drugs and dominate the allotted TV time for their commercials, it can control the news, and that's exactly what it wants to do. We are up to our eyeballs in autism, folks, that are caused without a shadow of a doubt by these vaccines that are being shot into our babies even before they get out of the damned hospitals. That is a fact. Should they be held responsible for this? You're damn right they should. I, for one, would like to see them, for the ones that they haven't killed, I'd like to see them brought up on attempted murder charges. But I don't think that's going to happen, because I don't see anybody in this country that's got the guts to prefer charges like that against them. There's too much money flowing around, too many payoffs. Sovereign Man, you're up.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
Sorry to bust up your little vaccine thing. Hey, tell the people to go to Al Whitney's other site, Parents Against Mandatory Vaccines, and look up Overcoming Vaccine Mania, so that you too don't become one of the victims of the pharmaceutical, medical, chemical, military industrial complex.
Well, you know, Sovereign Man, and I was kind of embarrassed that I didn't know this, that the active ingredient in Prozac is the very same crap they're putting in our water.
And yeah.
And I used to blow this off. 30% of the active ingredient in Prozac is nothing but fluoride.
Yeah, actually, John, if you look up majority of the SSRIs, they're fluoride-based or fluorine-based. Something,
well,
huh?
That'd take a full-grown man and turn him into a eunuch, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's terrible.
All right.
So I try not to take anything. I was calling in because I don't know if you've ever seen this site. It is USVSUSA, I think. Hold on, I got to highlight. I'm a little bit visually challenged here. Yeah, USVSUS.info, and is Mandel House. I didn't even know this. Mandel House was instrumental in bringing about the Texas Rangers. You know that? I mean, it's interesting. Mm. I was looking up the quote. You know the quote, Mandel's quote.
Which quote?
The quote. Soon, very soon, every American will be required to register their biological property in a national system designed to keep track of the people that will operate under an ancient system of pledging. By such methodology, we can compel people to submit to our agenda, which will affect our security as a chargeback for our fiat paper currency. Every American will be forced to register or suffer being unable to work and earn a living. They will be our chattel, and we will hold the security interest over them forever by operation of the law merchant under the scheme of secured transactions. You want me to continue?
No, it's fine. We're running out of time, and I got another article I want to get into, but there's the start. People have said to me over the years that, you got to take the accidental view of history. You know, these commerce laws and all the control that wields, you know, that's nothing. That's just business. No. When the government cannot deal with you because they are a corporation and they've got to make you a corporate entity in order to deal with you, you know, is something as simple as the government sending correspondence to you by way of mail and all of your name is in capped letters. That is the corporation dealing with what they have considered you to be part of that corporation. Sovereign Man, I've got to go. Thank you for your call. Ken in Fort Worth, you're up next.
Good point, John. They believe everybody's corporations and animals, too. Let me tell you, maybe I said it before. ZIP stands for Zip Quick, you know, but it really stands for Zonal Improvement Plan. I found it in a black book at the post office. Go look for it. I told you before. Hey, I'm going to ask you a question. How many emergencies are there in this country presently going on right now?
Federal declared emergencies?
Yeah.
31, I think.
That many?
Yeah.
Maybe right. Why don't you read them all off?
I don't have them in front of my face, Sovereign Man.
Yeah, but somebody read them off.
Ken, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I misidentified Ken.
Okay. I'm gone.
Okay. Well, why didn't you bring it to the listeners? Thank you for your call. Art, you're up next. Hello, Art.
Hey, John. I wasn't going to call in until Sovereign Man there and started getting into SSRIs. And I can speak from, and because you happened to mention Prozac, I can speak from personal experience. Back in the 1990s, before I understood the dangers of SSRIs, I had been on Prozac for almost 2 years. And folks, if you've never been on these drugs, let me tell you, that is one drug. They call it a mind effer for a reason. You literally cannot function.
Art, it's funny you should bring that up, because in the last 4.5, almost 5 years, I have been battling depression. I have not let the listeners know this because they don't really care, nor should they care, that I'm having a tough go of it. But putting down a cat, putting down a cat a week ago, I felt so bad. I felt so badly about that. And that just tied into the depression that I have not resorted to any chemicals. I resort to a 5-hour energy and a couple cups of coffee to get me up to do another show. It has been the toughest thing I have ever had to do in my life, but I have borne the burden. I aim to finish what I start.
And I totally understand what you're saying, because, you know, I love animals. In fact, I would show more mercy to an animal in pain than I would almost any man that I've ever met, and probably any man I don't even know. And I've had to, over the years, I've had several dogs that I've raised from puppies that I've had to put down for one reason or another. And it tears you up inside when you have to do something like that. It feels like a part of you is dying. And, John, whether you think people care or not, we do care. We do. Seriously.
Well, Art, I appreciate the sentiments. I thought about this today, and I thought, don't you dare go there, John. Don't go there. But it's been tough, and people do not know. If it's not a direct attack against the network, it's trying to keep this thing functioning. Folks, try going out in the world and doing your job, saying that you're still employed out there. combating depression every damn day of your life. Try doing it. Better still, try getting on air behind a microphone and trying to do a show. It's been tough. I don't want any attaboys. Oh, good going, John. You're a good man. I don't want any of that. I signed up for this. I created it myself. I will see it through. But this month, I don't know where the donations have been, but they haven't been coming in. And that has been a concern for 11 straight years. We used, hell, a kid could sell advertising for this network prior to 2008. Hell, we had two or three advertisers deep with the same product or service that wanted to get on the network. Now, you can't find an advertiser turning over every rock that you see.
Well, I want to put a challenge out there. My group here where I live, we only get paid once a week or once a month, so the best we can do is the first of every month after we've paid our bills is we come together and we take up a collection and then we send it in to you. But I want to challenge everyone right now. If you give a damn, if you care, if any of this means anything to you, you know, Mike Rivero said it earlier today, and I couldn't have said it any better myself. If everyone listening right now sent in $5 a piece, you'd be amazed at what that would accomplish.
But see, most people won't, and we tried this. Michael may or may not be aware of this. We tried this years ago when we were paying out the nose for shortwave, and we had that connected 24/7. To the Republic Broadcast, or Republic Radio International, excuse me. And so we did it. We said, hey, everybody that's out there listening right now, just send us a buck. $1 per person with the amount of people that were listening by way of shortwave and internet and whatever have you would have more than paid the bills on the network. But that happen. And what does happen when you say, well, if everybody, and you have a group of people out there thinking to themselves, okay, well, I'll send in $5 a month. It doesn't cover anything. That takes 100 people to equal $100. And our expenses have not changed, and I've whacked everything that I possibly could. It still costs me $11,500 a month just to pay for the board ops and all that's connected to this network. And this is nothing in my pocket to buy a slice of bread. So I am not a whiner and I am not a complainer, but I will tell you the truth. And the truth is, well, the tank's almost empty. Art, I've got to keep moving, Art. I want to thank you for your call and thank you for your donation. Thank you, sir. Chance in West Virginia. Go, Chance.
Yes, hello, John. I just wanted to call and tell you that, yes, there are people out here, your listeners, like myself, that do care. Doing what you do, it's not surprising. It takes its toll on you. And I give you a lot of credit for doing what you do. I'm going to try my best effort to get you something out to you. It's been very rough for me lately financially. It's been one of those things for the last couple of months. But
I've been dealing with that for years. For years.
Well, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to get something out to you. And I want you to know that you're in my prayers, and I'm sure you're in the prayers of many of your listeners.
I'm sorry.
Keep going strong. And don't forget that there's people out here that care about you. You're doing an incredible job. I wish I could do what you're doing. So,
I wished I could find somebody that could do what I do.
it's incredibly hard. I know it's incredibly hard, and I'm not even in your position. You go through many stages, depression, anger, helplessness. Very tough.
I've never felt helpless, but I'll tell you what, I have supplanted that depression with anger. and people.
That's what it becomes.
Yeah.
I told you, I think in my last call, fear turns into anger when your back's against the wall. And this is where the emotions come out. And this is why I have no use for people who sugarcoat this situation. They have no idea the depth of the problems we're in.
It's almost to the point. It's almost to the point, Chance, of not being able to reverse it. I have used the term tipping point, and I didn't choose that term because it's just something I pulled out of my cranium. It is literally true. If we do not stand up and push back, what you're seeing today will be the future of America tomorrow.
Well, I would just like all your listeners that are listening tonight to say a prayer for you and to say a prayer also for Keith Rogers. He's going into surgery tomorrow, I believe.
He didn't tell. Well, I saw an email and I couldn't make heads or tails of it. I will be talking with Keith. Hey, I thank you for your call, Chance. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
By the way, from Keith Rogers, he sent this over to me. Family behind OxyContin maker, engineered opioid crisis. This is according to the Massachusetts Attorney General. Healy said the Sackler family used the power at their disposal to engineer an opioid crisis. Almost 400,000 people have died from opioid overdoses between 1999 and 2017. This is according to the CDC. We'll put up the lawsuit on the website. But guess what they wouldn't do with Steve Elkins? Here's a guy that went in for cancer surgery. They gave him ibuprofen. They would not give him a painkiller because of the opioid crisis. Here's a medical man. His wife is a nurse, registered nurse. He's a registered nurse. And what is this? The new brand of shopping a doctor for downers, painkillers? Is that what you got to resort to? Get cancer and get cut up just to get some pain relief and then not get it? Wow. By the way, that Mike, that link that you gave me, it's broke. About the lawsuit that Keith Rogers sent over? Well, see if you can dig it up and it makes some sense and it's in plain English. All right.
Extendivite, made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle, feeds our body with the nutrients we need to keep healthy. Just listen to what Arthur had to say.
I was just telling you, what a great product you have. I could use this about 10 years ago after I had congestive heart failure. And it fixed me up and got me going for the last 10 years. Lately, I've been having heart trouble again, so I placed another order because this was the only thing that ever worked. And I just wanted to let you know that you have a great product. Thank you very much.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.